which page picture were we looking at last one? What was the page? 7 was the one which had everything on it? No. 8 had everything on it? No. That's me, that's the Lubavitcher mikvah.
Maybe you read the 6. 6, yeah, I thought so. That's why somebody took.
Everyone got to take 6? Yeah, yeah, that was the one that mattered. Okay, good. Okay, so last week we focused primarily how to build a mikvah avoiding problems of shuvim. So we came up with two different answers about how to avoid the shuvim problem, even though we're really going to be using mayim shuvim, we're really using water that came out of the city pipes, but we're going to be machshir in one of two ways. Either we're going to be machshir based on the principle of hashacha, or we're going to be machshir based on the principle of zriya. So we spoke last week to Arichas about the pros and cons of both answers and why we do a somewhat of a combination of both. Again, different permutations exactly how. That's basically how mikvahs are built. So, of course, we've been assuming that the she'uvin problem in our mikvah is the city water that's coming into the mikvah. But we're assuming that the original 40 saw of water, the original rainwater, we're going to fill up without any problems of she'uvin whatsoever. Because if that water's not going to be kosher, then what are we doing? Then we're not wasting our time. So it goes without saying that the original 40 saw, and when I say original 40 saw, that original 40 saw, I mean the 40 saw that's filling up the Bohar Shaka, and the 40 saw also that's filling up the Bohar Zeria, and if you have a level Bohar Shaka, so that means the Bohar Shaka on the top, then on the bottom, then if you have a Lubavitch and Mikvah, the Bohar on the bottom. So 40 saw may have translated quickly into 160 saw or so, but whatever is going to be that the original source of the water, the Mikvah itself, clearly has to be without any problems whatsoever of she'uvim. So I just want to point out one or two things to be aware of when building a mikvah, when supervising a mikvah, to make sure that in fact you don't really run into she'uvim problems. For those who are with me in Meruba this year, so we spent a lot of time talking about this, so we're just going to highlight a little bit. So the halach is as follows, that a pipe itself per se is not considered to be a kli for the purposes of she'uvin. She'uvin is only considered to be she'uvin if something has a base kibble, something has a receptacle, something that can actually hold water. Let's say, for example, a cup, a bottle, those are considered to be a base kibble, and any water that collects in them would be a problem. A pipe is open on both ends, that's not considered to be a base kibble. The water, you can't really walk around carrying water in it. The water go out both ends, that's not considered to be a problem. If a pipe per se aren't problems of base kibbles, for that matter, gutters that collect water on the roof, so may or may not be problems either, depends on how the gutters are made. So if the gutters are open on both ends, then for sure they're not considered to be a base kibble. So pipes and gutters per se are not considered to be a problem. Again, the reason being that they're open on both ends. There is a major machlokes in the Rishonim about what if you have a kibble, you have a kli that technically can hold water, but it wasn't made for the purpose of holding water. It wasn't na'asa l'kibble. So l'maisa b'metzios, it's holding water. On the other hand, you didn't intend it to be holding water. Is that considered to be a base kibble? So that shayla is a major machlokes. And again, we're leaving out all the lumdus right now. It's a machlokes. The Rambam and the Raibin and the Chaim got involved and the Marik and the Rambam. Everyone 2 days. I'm telling you, everyone had what to say about this topic. At the end of the day, the overwhelming majority of the poskim assume that it's not a problem. Nevertheless, there are some poskim who say that it is a problem. There is one sheet in poskim, one sheet in Rishon and Acharonim, that holds that even a base kibble shalom na'asa l'kavanas kibble is considered to be a problem. We try when we build the mikvah to be choshish for that shita, and therefore we have a couple of things to be aware of when we build the mikvah. Again, I'm not saying it's mikra din, I'm saying it's there are machmirim. Therefore, we're machmir about the following. We try to be machmir about the following types of things. When you have a gutter on the top of the roof, what happens? Any normal mikvah? Any normal mikvah?
The one
with
the
rain. Yeah,
the
ridges
on the
can. This one? We have ones that don't work, so why don't we take them? Well, they work, but they're not. Just wondering, you know.
It's like part of the tradition, you know, to come with 5 markers.
Anyway, so here you have. I don't even know how to draw a gutter. Look across the street, you see a gutter on a roof. Okay, so you have a gutter on a roof. So, like that. So the water comes up and out. Ready? Draw it. It's very bad. You have to draw a side view. Bottom line is, you can't have
walls on the side. Otherwise, it's not going to be a very big gutter, and it's going to be a very kibble. So within the gutter itself, sometimes the gutter starts to develop little cracks, and the water, when it comes out of, when it comes down out of the clouds, it'll go into the gutter, go into the gutter, but in the process, some of it will seep into the little cracks over here, a little indentation in the gutter. So that's a big machlekes apelskim. Is that considered to be a problem or not? So that's an example of a base kibble, shalom na'asa lekavanas kibble. You're not really interested in the water collecting. On the other hand, the water is collecting, is being gathered in these little cracks. So the difference in those shittas, we try very hard to make sure that the gutters are as smooth as possible. Before you build the mikvah, so usually someone will go up there and just make sure that it's really, really clear that there are no indentations, that there's no mokum kibble. There's another shiloh that comes up based on this idea of a kibble, so not from the kabbalah. The water usually comes off comes from the clouds, comes down, hits the roof, goes down the side of the roof into the gutter, and then will usually come down into some kind of a pipe that goes down and eventually opens up into the bor, a shofar, into the bor, into wherever you're collecting 40. So if you just have water going down a straight pipe, that's not a problem. A pipe is open on both ends, it's not a big kibble. The problem is that it's not always so easy. Sometimes you have to make, let's say, another pipe over here. The water has to get to, just a previous question, sometimes the water has to come down here, and then it's got to go into this pipe. So anyone know anything about plumbing? So what do you build when you have two pipes that are going at right angles? What do you put to connect the pipes? It's called an elbow, right? Ishmael Kehu. So it's called an elbow pipe. So we'll take a look at your bathrooms, your pipes in your basement. You have these elbow pipes. So this is a big machlokes in the post. The elbow pipe's a problem. Because an elbow pipe, if you think about it, is makabel mayim. So it's called a tzinur hakofel. So the Raavad claims that a tzinur hakofel is considered to be a base kibble. Even though it's not nasa the Kabbalah, most people don't walk around carrying water in these things. Most people wouldn't want to. And this person really doesn't want to collect the water in it. He wants to use it as a way to conduit for the water to get through. Not as a mukham kibble. It could be makabel mayim. That's called the base kibble from nasa the Kabbalah. That's a shayla. There are some folks who are machmir not to have these kinds of things in the setup in terms of a mikvah. So again, we're not talking about all the details of constructing a mikvah. Just be aware of the fact that there is a machlokes apelskim about things which are makabel but not made for the purpose of kibble. That machlokes will touch upon the smoothness of the gutters. It'll touch upon the elbow pipe. It'll touch upon the kashrus of the mikvahs. And Rabbi Shmuel was telling us last week about what the cracks, the shingles, all these things which end up being some kind of a kibble, but they're not nasa like kabbalah. We'll all be telling you this. I mean, eikah mikra din, they're not really a problem. There are more paskas, all these things are mutar. But like at chinuch, we build a mikvah, try to avoid some of these things.
Is there any shear?
There's no shear. No. Yeah, I think so. Yes. Mishnah mikvah is about b'kli eight, b'kli heaven. So it's a different shear, but at the end of the day, it comes out, I think, to be nothing. There is one last thing about Mayim Shuvim before we move on to the real topic that I wanted to talk about today, and that's as follows. Even though we're pretty sure, we're pretty confident that we're building Kashim Mikvahs, after all, we're still spending an awful lot of money on building Kashim Mikvahs, and we bent over backwards last week with our Shokas and Jiriyas and everything, but somehow always in the back of our mind, we're still just a little bit nervous. So we're afraid that maybe something went wrong. Maybe somehow we goofed up on maybe there were some cracks over here that maybe are a problem. Maybe there was a base kibble somewhere that we didn't quite catch. Maybe the shuffle wasn't done properly. Maybe the zriya wasn't done properly. Maybe something went wrong. We get like, everyone seems to be a little bit, concerned. We want to build a mikvah right. So there is a built-in safeguard into a mikvah that we build to significantly minimize the room for error. And that's based on the following principle. That's what's called hamshacha. Hamshacha means this follows. Hamshacha is a sugya that appears in Maseches Tmura, in the Kvalos, a little bit of Mishnayos also, which runs as follows. Let's say you have water, which is mamish mayim shuvim, real makor mayim shuvim, water mamish in a barrel, and you have a mikvah over here, there's a hole in the ground. So if the guy would walk over, carry the barrel, and just tip the barrel right in, so that would be my Mishul to Mamish, that would be the best. But he doesn't do that. This mikvah fellow walks over here, and he pours the barrel onto the ground over here, this is the ground level, pours the water onto the ground, and the water walks along, crawls along, it's Mamshik along, it drags along, it flows along, and then and only then it falls into the mikvah. That's called hamshacha. So there is a halacha that mayim she'uvim that goes into a mikvah derech hamshacha is not as bad as mayim that goes directly into a mikvah without hamshacha. And I was very careful with my choice of wording. What exactly did I mean with that statement? So there's machlekes and rishonim, what exactly the parameters of that statement that hamshacha works. So there was some rishonim who say that what hamshacha does is it totally and completely removes any psul of mayim she'uvim. As long as you take a barrel of water and you pour it on the ground and now it goes into the mikvah derech hamshacha, then you're home free. You can manage to build the mikvah like that, like hatchila shalom hatchila. There was an opinion in Rishon, I think there been an opinion in the Gemara even, that holds such a shita. The Rambam quotes such a shita. He quotes in the name of Yesh Gaonim. There were some Gaonim Ma'ara, some Gaonim from the west who held that way. And the Rambam writes, Lo shamanu davazem e'olim, that anyone should paskin like this. Says the Rambam, if anyone wants to paskin like this, but then you don't have to bother building a mikvah. Says the Rambam, just build yourself a bathtub. Just, what do you need a mikvah? What do you need water off the roof? Just dig a hole in the ground. Take a barrel of water from the well, walk it over, and instead of pouring it into the mikvah, pour it on the side of the mikvah, and let it go in, then it comes shachar, and show them by Yisrael, you'll have a kosher mikvah. So the Rambam totally negates such a sheet because there is no such sheet. So what does Hamshacha do? So says the Rambam, if you look at the Gemara Tzburin carefully, says the Rambam, what Hamshacha does is as follows. Hamshacha works if you have more than half of the mikvah as mega shachar, as real rainwater, water which has not been tarnished by being in a kli, and miut of the mikvah is mayim shubim, which have been huksha ayidei hamshacha. That's what's called revia da hamshacha. Revia is a lashon rov, that you have rov megeshamim mamish, and miut be hamshacha, says the Rambam, that's okay, that works. But to make an entire mikvah out of derech hamshacha, that's absolutely out of the question, says the Rambam. So Machlekes and Rishonim, Machlekes the Gaonim, what the opinion of the Gaonim who said you can make an entire mikvah based on Hamshacha. Then you have the Rambam who says no, you can't make an entire mikvah based on Hamshacha. You can only make a mikvah based on Hamshacha if you have a rov based on non-Hamshacha. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim paskin like the Rambam. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Rambam. We don't accept that opinion of the Gaonim. We paskin that in order for Hamshacha to work, it has to be revia v'hamshacha. You need mostly mayim megeshalim mamish, and then if you run short on mikvah water, so then you can play around a little bit in mayim shuvim derech hamshacha. Tosis writes in Maseches Bava Basra that mida araisa the Gaonim are right. That means mida araisa taka the whole mikvah could be derech hamshacha. There's no chiluk. Mida rabbanan you require revia v'hamshacha. That's what Tosis Shita is. So based on this idea that, number one, there are some opinions, although in minority view that we don't really paskin like, who maintain that Hamshacha works legamre, and even those who hold that Hamshacha doesn't work legamre, they may agree that midaraisa Hamshacha works legamre. Therefore, we try when we build a mikvah to invoke this principle of Hamshacha. So if you look at that famous picture number 6 that we spent a lot of time on last week, you will notice that every time any water gets anywhere near a mikvah, it never goes directly into the mikvah. It always goes along some ledge. It always goes along a little area before falling into the mikvah directly. So if you take a look, let's say take a look at the Os, I told you Os here, sorry. Os Ches, okay? Yeah, you see Os Ches in page 6? So Os Ches is Silon Amolich Megishal Min Hagag. That's the pipe that's coming off of the roof. That's mamish megeshamim, plain water, hasn't been in any kli whatsoever. It's coming down the roof, ches. So if you would ask me, I would just have ches deliver the water directly into beis, directly into dalet, into the two boros, into the bor shach and the bor zriah. So that's not what happens. The water does not go right out of ches into the two boros, but it goes derech tes. So what is tes? Makom hamshacha lemegeshamim kishem emalim bor hashacha bor hazriah. So what we do is we take any water that came off of the roof and we first do hamshacha on it. Before that water goes anywhere near the mikvah, it goes derech hamshacha, it goes along a ledge, along the ground. We'll see exactly what that ledge looks like. It goes along that little bit of a ledge, that test, that makom hamshacha, and thereby satisfying any concern that even if chalila v'chalila up here on the roof, somehow something went wrong, and this was a base kibbutz, we missed the crap, we missed the shingle, we missed something, even in the near worst case scenario, there was a little bit of a base kibbutz over here, Midah Araisa, we've solved the problem, according to Tosfos, because we've come Derech Hamshacha, and according to that opinion of the Gaonim, we've even solved the problem Midah Rabbanan, even Lamaisa. So therefore, even though we don't really think there's Mayim Shuvim here, just on the outside chance that there is, we go ahead and we do Hamshacha anyway. But even that's not enough. That's not the only Hamshacha that we do in a mikvah. Take a look at Ozvav. Ozvav is Beres Shomeha Iyah. Mayim Shuvim Gemurim. No shilas about it. Ran from Vosna from last week. No one's ever make all the city waters. Mayim Shuvim Mamish. It's going into the mikvah. Now, that's no problem that we're using city water to Tovalim because we're going to be machshuvah based on Ashok and based on Zriya. And we're so convinced that all of Ashok and all of Zriya's work. We have no problems. We have no qualms about Ashok and Zriya. But at the end of the day, you never know. Maybe Nassan Sov and Otlasov was a problem. Maybe the rabbi was right. Maybe the mikvah lady forgot to open up the neck of Hashokah. Maybe Chalila v'Chalila, something's going to go wrong with Hashokah, the Zriya from last week, and we're going to be stuck toiveling in Aleph, which is the Makom HaTvila, which is the Pasul Mikvah Midaraisa. It's Mayim Shuvim. So what do we do? So just to make ourselves a little bit less nervous, what we do is as follows. Before we actually use the city water, before we even machshir at Derech Hashokah and Zriya, we immediately do what? What's the magic word? We do a Hamshacha on that also. So if you take a look at Vav is coming out of the faucet. So I would think that you come right out of the faucet right into Beis, right into the Bor Zriya. But no, first it goes Derech Zayin. But Zayin, take a look at the sign. Meha'iyah boim b'Hamshacha l'soch Bor Zriya. That first we do a Hamshacha. So in effect, we invoke the principle of Hamshacha twice in the construction of a standard mikvah. Any mikvah you're going to go into today, you're going to see in effect, if you look behind the scenes a little bit, you're going to find a double Hamshacha. You're going to find a Hamshacha with the rainwater going, doing Hamshacha, because maybe something went wrong on the roof. And then you're going to find a second Hamshacha taking place with the city water before it comes into the mikvah, because we're afraid, who knows what happened, maybe the Hamshacha, the Zriya got messed up. So the Hamshacha is an insurance policy. Now again, we're not going to build a mikvah just based on Hamshacha, because we hold, like the Rambam, we hold that Hamshacha doesn't really work by itself. We hold you need Revi'ah v'Hamshacha. So we hold the Midrabanim, it's a problem. So we're not going to build mikvahs l'chatchila just based on Hamshacha. But after we finish building our multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar mikvahs with all the Hidurim of last week, so we're going to throw in two Hamshachas just as a safeguard to make sure that even if we failed at everything last week, we're still safe Midaraisa, or at least according to the owner, we've been safe from l'chatchila based on the principles of Hamshacha. So you will see Hamshacha in our modern day mikvahs. You won't see them as the real way of being makshir the mikvah, you'll see them as a backup. No, the problem is if you have Gimel Lugin and Mayim Shuvim, that passes the whole mikvah. Even if you're
Gimel Lugin, before you collected 40 saw, then you have to
create. You were saying last week the whole thing of between the Barashaka and Barayashi Toivo, that it's going to go back and forth so much that you're going to lose the physical rainwater.
Right.
So, but if you have this gutter system and it rains throughout the years, it's going to keep filling up with rainwater, isn't it?
Yeah, but you don't always keep on filling it up.
You
leave it open when it's good rain. You don't always leave it up. It doesn't always rain. And you have to clean it up because usually it's plugged up. You have to, it collects leaves in the fall. It gets dirty. So it's not, it doesn't always work the best. Many mikvahs don't fill up all that often.
If you're doing Hamshacha on city water, what are you gaining by doing Hamshacha on the water going to the Borzri and the Borzri? Because if
Hamshacha
is good, then you're good already, and it's not.
You mean if Hamshacha was already good on the city water? So if you're already doing it on the city water, so why you bother? Means what's the mile of doing it on the?
Right.
No, he's asking. Reman Hamshacha, if you're willing to be, to willing to have a safeguard of Hamshacha.
No.
He's asking a different phone. He's saying once you're willing to go on record as saying that we're gonna assume Hamshacha does something, right? At least as a backup, it does something. So then once you're doing it already with the city water, so then why bother doing it with the original rainwater? Is there any mile of doing it twice?
In the forest area, the water from the roof comes in first.
Yeah.
So if you don't do Hamshacha for the water from the roof, then you'll have Mayim Shuvim going into the Bor Zriya, and then the city water comes in with Hamshacha, but you already have
more than three loads of my shiva coming into the
right.
Room.
Right. Okay.
So you have to go chop up the room. Just
why do you do both? Yeah, okay, I have to think about why I have to do both. Okay, okay, let me think about it. Okay, good. So since we're doing Amshacha, we better make sure we do Amshacha right. So there are two machloksim in the poskim which relate to Amshacha. One is whether Amshacha has to be literally on a ground type of a surface. There are some Mishanim who say that Amshacha has to be on a karka ruil of loya. It has to be on something which is where the water literally gets seeped a little bit into the ground itself. And there are other Mishanim who don't require that. As long as it goes derech karka, derech mechubla karka, doesn't have to be al karka ruil of loya. That's one machlekes of Mishanim. And the second machlekes of Mishanim is how far the Amshacha has to go. Is there a shear of Amshacha? Some Mishanim who seem to say Amshacha has to be three tefachim. Another Rishonim say, Lo hayu dvar me'olam. So again, we're not going to learn all the lomdas right now. Suffice it to say that it's quite possible that these two shayles are totally zebazet. It's a famous Biskarov in Mikvah. So the Biskarov claims that these shayles are totally, we spoke about it in the year, right? It's the whole lomdas of Brisket Torah, that these two shayles are totally zebazet. So based on this shtickle Torah, the Biskarov came up with this idea that what you could do is to be to everybody is you make three tvachim, but only one of the tvachim has to be royal of loabs. So fancy schmancy, brisk kavar. Again, leaving out the lumdas for now. So why am I telling you this story? So there are some mikvahs that have this idea that when they make this derech hamshacha, if you think about it, lemaisa, when you do hamshacha, so you want the area that you do hamshacha on to be clean. You don't want to do hamshacha over mud. You don't want to do hamshacha over real ground. Why? If you do hamshacha over real ground, it's going to collect some of the dirt, and it's going to make the mikveh dirty. So on the one hand, you want to get karka ruil lifloha. On the other hand, you don't want to be too royal lifloha. If it gets too muddy, so then it's going to make a mess for you. So the Biskarov came up with this fancy lumdus idea, which some poskim have implemented lamaisa, that as long as you have hamshacha of three tefachim, even if only part of that hamshacha is royal lifloha, that's also okay. So there are some mikvahs that build based on this Biskarov. There are others who just build based on the assumption that cement is considered to be royal lifloha. That's what many of the mikvahs have today. That if you have water that sits on cement long enough, so then it will be balea into the cement. So we assume that an area that's covered up with cement is considered to be royal lifloha. Most of the time, you won't see the actual hamshach itself. There is a very fancy mikvah that's built in Bergen County, and shall remain nameless. That anyone knows Bergen County will know which one I'm referring to. It's a very, very fancy mikvah. And they wanted to build a mamash with karaka rule of loa, mamash with amshach with kedas v'chadin, but somehow they didn't think it was such a good idea for the women to walk in and see a mud pile in right by the side of the mikvah. So what they did is as follows, that they built the area of amshach, the ledge of amshach, a mamash with karaka rule of loa, but that's under what you don't see. Then they put on top of it this beautiful marble covering, which is the fake covering. Just take a look, and they show me the mikvah. So if you just go over and you pick it up, then you see the mud underneath. But on top, for the Lefira Osei Meha Nashim, so it looks beautiful with marble, with waterfalls and pictures and everything. So it makes you feel like you're in Bermuda or something. But Lemais underneath is a good Hasidisha muddy, really good old style. Kaka really flow. Anyway, yeah, don't tell anybody about that. So there are different systems as to how to build these hamshachas. So I told the boys in the shiur this year, I think I told this story, right? About my cousin? Yeah, so when I was in, it all goes back already, I think it was right after we got married a couple of years ago. So I went to visit one of my wife's cousins, a real Yerushalmi. So he happens to have a mikvah in his backyard. He built himself like an extended bathtub with a mikvah with ashokas and everything. And fine. So he walks in, and sometimes when someone wants to show off your house, so you like to show all the fancy schmancy stuff. So this is the only thing he had in the house. What's he going to show me? His farm? I've seen farm before. Why don't you show me his mikvah? That was the highlight. Here, his cousin from America. His cousin from America just got married, and she's bringing a chassid. He wants to show off his house. He shows off the mikvah. So he comes to the back, and again, he doesn't speak English that well. I don't speak Yiddish that well. My Yivrit and his Yivrit somehow were almost the same language. And finally, we're conversing about this mikvah. So he shows me, this is my mikvah. And I take a look at it, and I was looking at the Amshacha. So I said, see, they come up Brisker Rav, Amshacha. Because he had one Tefach Royal of Loa, and the rest was not Royal of Loa. So he looked at Mamish like he keeled over. He said to me, Ma, but America, Shabuol Zeh, on a Brisker Rav, Amshacha. Couldn't be his Yerushalmi, never stepped foot out of Meisharim. He couldn't be Masik that in America they knew about the Brisker Rav. So he said, the Betach, Kulat America Yadima Zeh, Kulat America. Yeah, so. Anyway, so getting back to this story, so we try to build up Shachar, we try our best to build up Shachar as a backup. Okay, so this is a little the Shiraim of last week. There's everything that I wanted to speak about Sha'uv, and I want to move on to the next topic. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we assume. We're maker, that many people also make it, the concrete itself is, but those who didn't want to be maker like that, so they'll build a real a little patch of real mud in there. There's like this more porous concrete or something, yeah. Okay, the next major topic, yeah. So somewhere along the way, there should be a little bit of either porous concrete or mud or something. I'm not advocating the mud. I'm advocating the porous concrete. Good. So getting back to these different psulim in terms of mikvahs, we've been focusing primarily on one psul, the psul shuvin. But there's another very significant psul in Hilchos Mikvahs. That's what's called zochalin. So I want to spend the rest of today's shiur discussing zochalin. So zochalin means water literally that's crawling, literally water that's moving. So the Teres Kod of Dajans from a pasuk, that water that's moving is absolutely possible. It's possible with the pashas, possible with the raisa. If you have a mikvah that's on the move, a mikvah water that's moving, that's not acceptable for a mikvah. This is in contrast to a mayon. So everyone's familiar with the fact that the Torah speaks about two different bodies of water that a person can be tovel in, either a mikvah or a mayon. So a mikvah is rain water that's collected. A mayon is like a spring. It's a natural spring that's flowing. Let's say the Moshe, the Ariz mikvah. So that's a misnomer. The Ariz mikvah in Tzfas is not a mikvah. It's a mayon. It's flowing water. So of course flowing water can flow. Of course if it's a natural spring, it could be zochlin. Every spring is zochlin. But if it's main geshamim, if it's rainwater, so then it cannot be zochlin. Now we all know there's a water cycle. All water goes up and down. So it's the same quote-unquote water. But that doesn't really matter. The question is where it came from last. If it emanates from under the ground, that's called Meimayin. If it emanates from the clouds at this point, that's considered to be Mei Geshamim. So therefore, it's bound by the halacha of Zochalim. So a classic example of Zochalim would be a little bit we spoke about last week, where we spoke about water that's going down a mountain. Remember Ketafras, to the Rechaim, who passed all the Lubavitch and Mikvos, based on the water that's going up and down. So whether or not the Rechaim is right is a big question, but water that's moving, that's possible, that's for sure true. That's the Torah's Kodim, that's Mishnayas, that's the Feirish in the Gemara. That if you have Megeshav, if you have rainwater that's on the move, that's absolutely possible. The Pashtas that Dvarim is that it's possible with their Isa. There is some question about that, but the Pashtas Pashat is that it's absolutely their Isa. It's based on this idea of Zochalin that we have a whole series of problems in our mikvahs. Some of them are old problems in mikvahs from thousands of years already, and some of them are fairly new problems based on some of the modern technology. So the first problem of Zochalin that poses a potential problem are the problem of a crack in a mikvah. So let's say, imagine you have this problem. You have a mikvah. You filled up the chachimus and the chachimus and all of the shuffles and the trees and everything. And this could be either the Mokum Tevilah, or for that matter, it could be the Bar Shah, it could be the Bar Zariah. You can have this problem with any of the above. And then all of a sudden, there's the water. Water goes up to here. And all of a sudden, after a little bit of time, the crack starts to develop in the wall. And of course, those cracks develop very, very little at a time. A little bit of water is slowly but surely seeping out of this mikvah. That's called Nista Kosel HaMikvah. That the wall of the mikvah becomes cracked, and this is a big machlekes Rishonim. Is this a problem or not? So there were a group of Rishonim who maintained that this is the problem of Zochalin, that this is the problem of the mikvah moving. Even though this is not quite the same as rainwater going down a mountain, doesn't matter. Even though it's only cracked a little bit, and the rain is the water is just seeping out very, very minuscule amount, that is a potential problem of Zochalin. There were some Rishonim, the Rash in this parish of Mishnayos and Maseches Mikvahs, claims that there's a Mishnah in Maseches Mikvahs that actually talks about this topic. Other Rishonim question whether that's really what the Mishnah is talking about, but many Rishonim still accept the Rashi's din, even if they may disagree with this parish in that particular Mishnah. So this is a potential problem, a crack in the walls of the Mishnah.
Now, even though the water she's going into it now,
even though there's way more than 40 sun right now, but it doesn't matter. There is a crack, and a little bit of the water is leaving, so that's considered to be Zochalin according to some Rishonim. Okay?
The entire
mix right, we'll get that in a second. So assuming that this is true, assuming these facts are correct, that this is considered to be a problem with Zochalin, what is that look in the following case? Let's say, here's your Mokum Tevilah. Pull up the crack here. Fix up the crack.
What if this is the 40 saw line? Here's your 40 saw of water, okay? And a crack develops over here. That's a problem. What if, here's the water line, what if a crack develops over here? Above the 40 saw line. So we think about it, even though the water level happens to be over here, nobody asked the water level to be that high. One could have lowered the water level to here. So one here argues as follows. How did you disqualify a mikvah because there's a crack in the mikvah above the 40 saw line? So down the hulk of that water. So let all that water seep out. And once all the water seeps out and reaches over here, it's not going to seep out anymore. Water is not going to seep out above through a crack if the crack is above where the water is. Right? That's simple. Pretty elementary physics for that one. So, come a group, right? Am I right in that one? Okay. So, come a group of Rishonim and say what he says. Even if a crack, I think, poses a problem, the Medvar Mamura, that's only a crack below 40 saw. But a crack above the 40 saw line, what's the problem? Either below the water line, either there's some water that's leaving the mikvah, it doesn't bother us because that water is above the necessary water. Just say down the Melcha on that water. That's what some Rishonim say. And other Rishonim say no. There's no difference, it doesn't matter. Even a crack above the 40 saw line is a problem. Why? Because the whole mikvah is called Zochlin. Doesn't matter, even though it's true, Dalmi off of that water, and even if that water would leave, once the water goes below the crack, then it'll talk to be kosher. Close mouth that the water is above the crack line, and the water is still dripping out, even though you don't really need that mikvah, that water for the mikvah, that passes the entire mikvah. Like I said, we've shown him. So again, everyone, we're working with the assumption now, cracks in the walls of mikvah are a problem. Not every Rishon agrees to that. But let's assume for now that that is true, that cracks are a potential problem. And then you have a further machlekes that we showed him, just how much of a problem are they? Are they a problem only if they're below the shear? Are they a problem even if they're above the shear? What's the lumdus? What's the machlekes about? So it's usually explained, the machlekes runs as follows. There is a basic machlekes in the, seems to be machlekes between the Mordechai and the Bir HaGra. Strange machlokes, but the Bir HaGra claims that he has a revash on his side, which he may or may not have, which runs as follows. What exactly is there a din of Zochlin? What kind of halach is this that Zochlin is a problem, that water that's moving is a problem? Such a strange halach. You know what's strange about it? Is because a mayon that's moving is kosher. How could it be? On the one hand, the Torah says there are two different types of bodies of water to Tevelin. One is a mikveh, which is rainwater, one is a mayon. A mayon is lechatchila kosher, even though it's moving. Every mayon is moving. On the other hand, the mikvah is possible with their eyes, papashas, if it's moving. What kind of strange discrepancy is that in the halacha? So, there are two totally different approaches how to solve this problem. So, the Mordechai in Hilchos Mikvahs claims, you know why a mikvah that's moving is possible? Because the very word mikvah, what does the word mean? Ule mikveh hamayim kara yamim. What does yikavu hamayim mean? What does the pasuk say? Yikavu hamayim el makom echad means the definition, the chaleshem, the chetz of the mikvah means mayim b'makom echad. So if you want to invoke the principle of hilchos mikvos, you want to be tovel in rainwater, then it has to meet the criteria of yikavu hamayim makom echad. It has to be in one place. If the water is leaving, that's a problem. If you're totally in a mayon, even a flowing mayon is called a mayon. So the Mordechai says it's just based on the lashon, it's based on the fact that the chetz of a mikveh is different. It has the condition of makom echad, and the chetz of a mayon doesn't have that condition. The Gra in the beginning of Hilchos Mikvos claims, based on a tshuvas harivash, that that's not the pshat. That the emes pshat, why is there a difference between a mikveh and a mayon? Because there happens to be another difference between a mikveh and a mayon. The din is that a mikveh requires 40 saw, and a mayon doesn't require 40 saw. The Shailan to be shown what exactly that means, but we're going to assume right now what that means, that you can toivel in the mayan as long as you can fit in. If you can't fit, then you can't be toivel. But let's say you have a sure small person and you could type a fit into a mayan which is 20 saw, so then according to many Rishon, you can toivel it. It's perfectly acceptable with their eyes and with their abundant. You're allowed to be toivel in a mayan, even a mayan bekosha who is mitaher. So comes the Gra in the name of the Rivash and says the following Chiddush. This halacha that Zochlin is possible. This is not a chisaron in the shem hamikvah. This is a chisaron in the shear hamikvah. This is a chisaron in the shear 40 saw. In order to have a shear 40 saw, it has to be the makam echad. The mayim is only mitzuruf yachad. Water only is considered to be a unit, to be an entity, to be mechubar as one entity, only if everything is stationary. If you have, let's say, you have a shear, everybody, you have 40 bachim, and they're all sitting in the same room, so we're a shear. So you have a zimun. 10 guys sitting at the same table, that's a zimun.
That's three guys sitting, that's a zimun. You have one guy's out the door, one guy's over here, one guy's over here. That's not a zimun. That's what the Gemara says also by Mayim. The one drop of water is over here, and one over there, and one's down the road, and one's up the mountain, one's down the waterfall. That's not mitzurif yachad. That's not called 40 saw. Mayim, which doesn't require a shear of 40 saw, and Mayim doesn't have a psula zoichel in. So the lombish machloek has been the Mordechai and the Gra as to what the chisaron of Zochlin is. Is Zochlin the chisaron, the shame amikvah, the chefts of the mikvah? That's how the Mordechai learns pshat. Or is Zochlin the chisaron, the sheer amikvah, and therefore there is no such corollary of halacha by a mayan? Why is this important for us? This is very important for us.
According to the Gra, does it make any sense whatsoever for a crack above the 40 saw line to disqualify the mikvah? Absolutely not. According to the Gra, if you have a crack under the 40 stone line, a type of water is leaving here, water is exiting here, then you can argue any water that's on the way out is not mature of the 40 stone. If it's not mature of the 40 stone, then you're talking about 40 stone of water. So any water that's already on the move, that's already rolling out the side of the walls of the mikvah below 40 stone is a problem, according to the Gra. Any water above 40 stone is not a problem. Mashenkir, according to the Mordechai, of a zochel is a chisar of the shame of mikvah. That the whole mikvah is called a shame davar echad. It's one chetiva of a mikvah, one chet of a mikvah. If this chet of a mikvah is not a mokam echad, that's a problem. The whole mikvah is not called a kavu ma'ayim a mokam echad. So therefore, even a crack above 40 saw could potentially disqualify the mikvah. So the ma'ayim said, this is a big machlokes at poskim. We try as best as we can to avoid cracks in mikvahs under all circumstances. For sure, for sure, for sure. We try to not have any cracks below the 40 saw, and even above the 40 saw, we try our best to avoid having cracks in a mikvah. They may actually potentially disqualify a mikvah for this. There is another major machlekes haposkim about when we speak about cracks in a mikvah. We talk about zochlin, and that's what's called in halacha zechila she'ena nikeres. A zechila she'ena nikeres means that it's zochlin. Lamaisa, there is a water that's leaving the mikvah, but the crack is so minuscule that you can't even sense that it's leaving. So that's a big machlek as a poskim. Is that a problem or not? So the Shulchan Aruch is mekel that is zechila she'en any keres is not considered to be a problem, and the Gra happens to be machmir that even a zechila she'en any keres may possibly pose a problem. So even a niach lahokel, even if one is mekel and a zechila she'en any keres, there's a big machlek as a poskim. What's called nikeres? What's called any keres? Is it lefira osene hadayon? Is it? Do you look at it over the course of 24 hours, over the course of a few hours, over the course of 10 minutes? Do you have to actually see the water leaving? Unclear what exactly, where exactly you draw the line, what's called Nikeres. Because of all of this confusion, all these different shitas, within Zechila, we try our absolute hardest to avoid any of these shilas when we have a mikvah. We try to build the mikvah in such a way that we don't run into any problems of cracks down the line, to avoid any potential problems. And if cracks do develop down the line, then we will immediately fix them to try to minimize any problems of zechilas, nikarises, and any nikarises, etc. So it's because of this, because of all these problems, that we try to get our best quality cement when we build a mikvah. In the first place, we don't want to build a cheap mikvah. You build it with not the best quality cement, so then you're going to asking for trouble down the line. All the water pressure, everything over the years, it's going to begin to crack. So we are going to build a mikvah in the best way possible. What we also do is when we build a mikvah, we use what's called the reinforced cement. Does anyone see like when the sides of the highway, when you see like the barriers, so you see the metal, like metal strips inside the cement. So even though there were some poskim who had problems with building metal into cement because of some technical issues with Kabbalah Stumah, so most of the poskim held that you should do it because it makes the cement stronger. It avoids problems of cracking down the line. Sometimes, even with all the safeguards and everything, mikvahs sometimes do crack. So sometimes mikvahs have to close up for a little bit of time in order to fix up the cracks. The question is, how are you going to discover the crack? So you have to be very smart to figure out when it's cracking up.
According to the Gross, is that as long as you're using the shame of the 40 saw, why would it matter
where
the crack is? It's under the
40 saw. Yeah, if it's under the 40 saw, so any water that is leaving, so any water that's on the way out is not mechubet to the mea mikvah. No, but all the water is going to go through that crack eventually. Or any water that's above the crack is eventually, in 2 days from now, going to be out the door.
When they used to make it in the ground, it's up.
You
definitely
had
that problem.
Oh, that's the Rashba's raya. Very good. You mechavim to the Rashba. The Rashba says that obviously there must be a shield of dover. The Rashba says that obviously Zechila Shani Keres can possibly says Ein Lecha Zechila Gadol Midu. You dig a hole in the ground, water fills up, it gets seeped into the ground. So of course that's considered to be a Zechila Shani Keres. Rashi says, you see from here that even a Zechila Shani Keres is not a problem. That's good for the Rashi was right. Very good. Right. So how does the Gura talk that right? I don't know much. Good. So Rabbi said to avoid any of these problems, we try very, very hard. Therefore, a person who has been mashgiach at a mikvah has to have his eyes open for these things. Some of the signs to look for is if there are a significant change in the water level. Let's say, the marshal, you've been supervising the mikvah for the last 10 years, and you know, for argument's sake, you know that you filled up the mikvah on an average night. Let's say you fill up the mikvah to here, right? So you have your water line over here, so you always try to aim and say to fill up the mikvah over here. So any given night, when you come the next morning, some of this water is going to be gone. Because a little bit evaporates, some of the women, you know, splash a little bit, the water comes out with them. So let's say, you know, the water, the average night gets down to about, the morning comes down to about here. So let's say, you've been monitoring the water for the last 10 years, and some nights it's over here, some nights it's over here, some nights it's over here. And then you start to notice after a couple of days, every day you're coming in, the water's up to here. What is that? Why is that happening exactly? So if you start looking around, you may find yourself trapped somewhere down here, and you may be up the creek. So you may have to close off the mikveh for a little bit. So if you have a mikveh that has more than one base tefillah to it, so okay, then you close up one and get it fixed quickly and show it. But not so simple. You have to first discover where the crack is. The crack is in the base of tefillah, so it's not so terrible. The crack in the base of tefillah is nishkefel, because you just empty it out, and you get some guy to come in and fill up the crack and show it. Continue. But if the crack is in the Bor HaShoka or in the Bor Zeria, then you're going to have to empty out the whole Bor HaShoka or the whole Bor Zeria, and then fix up the crack and then wait for it to rain all over again. So good luck in your crack. So try to build a mikvah properly in the first place to try to minimize these cracks.
If you discovered a crack, would you send people back to the mikvah?
Would I send people back to the mikvah? It's probably, when it's first discovered, it's probably still as Chilash Eni Keres. It's probably still not that bad. So, you know, you have to, I'm going to run right away. If it's a Chilash Eni Keres at first, then someone's not doing their job.
The crack above the Bor HaShoka line, how's it
going to
form
in the case of Zeria? No, but the problem is the water's moving. The water's out.
The Zeria isn't the water
You're asking, how could you ever do a Zeria? You're asking a Zeria B'zocha. I don't know if you understood that term, but that's what you're asking. How could you ever do Zeria? At the time when you're doing Zeria, the water's going out of the mikvah, and that's called B'zocha. So how could that water be makshe the maybe the Ma'am Shum is going? That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Well, that's a long story. That's what's called Zeria B'zocha. So the answer to that question is there is an answer to that question. And depending on the answer to that question will depend on how many more chumras you want to build into your mikvah to solve that particular problem. The pashtas advarim is a very lumdish answer from Moshe gives, that a mikvah that's zochlin is possible for tvila, but it can still be machshir shuvim. It's still the chetz of a mikvah, but it's just as I did in a tvila. Again, that's not for now. We'll leave out the lumdish for another time, okay? That's a very good question.
Even for the people that say the crack above 40 saw is a problem because once some water is leaving, it's not all one thing anymore. Right. So, but according to them, if you just let it flow until it goes
right,
it goes back to
what's right, then it's good, right. Once you stop the zechila, then it becomes kosher again, right. Okay, good. So this is one application. This already appears in the Rishonim, this idea of crack in the bone. And again, this is something that even has its roots in the Mishnayos, at least according to the Rashi's interpretation of a particular Mishnah in Masechet Mikvos. There is a more modern day application of a Zochlin problem, and that's the issue of a filter. So as we already pointed out last week, it's very important when you build a mikvah that not only do you want to make sure the mikvah is kosher, l'chadchil shebrachila, you want to make sure that it's clean, l'chadchil shebrachila also. That's why we'll use all kind of kunstim from Shachan. I don't mean, like I said before, take the women out. It should be clean. It's supposed to be clean. That's it. No one should think that the mikveh is dirty. So we try our hardest to make the mikveh as clean as possible. So somebody came with a great idea. Why don't we just filter the water? So if you filter the water of the base of the makom tefillah, so then it's great. Gevalde. So we have to deal with two issues in terms of a filter. Number one, let's say in a niach that you have a filter on. And here's your base of tefillah. Okay, so you have a filter on. So what's happening when you have a filter? So filter system means you have some place here where the water is leaving. It's going into a filter,
the water's getting cleaned here, all the gook, all the schmutz is being taken out, then it's being rerouted back into the mikvah. I mean, a little bit of a, you know, a rough sketch of a copy. That's basically what's going on in the filter. And shunk. So is that okay or not? Let's say, can a person be toivel the shas ma'ase while this filter is actually on, while the water's coming out, going back in to test it? So at first glance, what? Chalila b'chalila, what do you mean to be toivel when the filter's on? The chzachlin. The water's leaving, the filter's at the bottom of the mikvah. You're not just going to filter up here, that's silly. You know, dirty water on the bottom, clean water on top, that's ridiculous. So you're going to filter all the water in the mikvah. All the water in the mikvah is going to be filtered. So how could anyone dream of being toivel it? Toivel that? Isn't that psul zachlin mamish? So comes along the Rivash and says the following. The Rivash didn't have filters, but the Rivash looks at something else. The Rivash says, what if you have a system where you have a mikvah and a little bit of water is actually leaving the mikvah, but it's not going anywhere. It's coming right back into the mikvah itself. So comes the Rivash and says, he doesn't think that's considered to be zochel. Zochlin means when the water is exiting the mikvah and it's gone, the olam va'olam, like it cracks in the mikvah. The water's leaving, it's gone, it's getting seeped up into the ground, it's gone, it's finished, it's not coming back anymore. That's considered to be zochlin. Well, let's say you have water going down the mountain, so the water's gone, it's never going to be kechub yachad. But what if you have just water that's on the move? The water can't sit still, but it's all coming back together, it's not going anywhere, it's a closed system. So come the Rivash and says, that's not considered to be zochlin. And the Ramah quotes this Rivash Halach Lemaisa, but that's not considered to be Zochlin. So it sounds great. It sounds like we've solved all our cleanliness problems in the mikvah. We can just build ourselves a beautiful multi-million-dollar filter system, and sure, leave the filter on 24 hours a day. It's going to be about, everything's going to be perfectly clean. Problem is, when the Ramah quotes this Rivash, he quotes the Rivash. I don't know if I put it on the show, put it on the Mamakomos somewhere. Been a while since I saw these Maramakamas. Yeah, it's on page 5. And if you see an Ostadi Gimel by the Gro, you see with the breath, right? Sif Nun. So the end of that Ramah. The Ein Yitzias Amayim Kori Zochlin, Elikashe Ein Chosin LeMikvah. Aval kishayotzin, and now the Ramah is a word that doesn't appear in the Rivash. Kishayotzin ma'at v'chozin sham lo mikri zechila. Now, if you look at the Rivash, if I'm not mistaken, the word ma'at doesn't appear. The Rivash says that any water that leaves and comes back is not called zochlin. The Ramah, in a sense, qualified the Rivash and says kishayotzin ma'at v'chozin. The question is, what was the meaning of the Ramah's word ma'at? What did the Ramah mean? So the truth is, the context of the tshuva of the Rivash was ma'at. The Rivash in the 1300s didn't dream of a filter system. He was talking about a little bit of water leaving and it's coming and it's falling right back over the back at the edge of the mikvah. That's what the Rivash was talking about. So did the Ramon mean his kipshuto? He meant that literally that the only time it could be machshir, water that leaves and comes back, if it's just a very small amount, it means if just that's basically the mikvah stationary. The drop of water that's leaving, but that drop is coming back again, so that's okay. That's all right. What would the Ramon say? What would the Rivash say if the entire mikvah is leaving? The entire mikvah is leaving and then it's coming back again. Would the Ramah say that's okay? So that's a big, big question. What did the Ramah mean with that word ma'at? Did the Ramah mean halachically that only if it's ma'at he's willing to be megel, but if it's not ma'at, if it's all the mitzvah that's leaving, so then that is called zochlin, even though it's coming back again? Well, do you say no? But the Ramah was just talking about my esteem. That was in the Tzius HaDvarim, in the case of the Rivash. But the Ramah didn't mean to be medayik anything major lahalacha. So that's the source of the question of the poskim. What's the status of filters? Are filters really a problem with zochlin or not? So the mile of filters is that the water comes right back into the mikvah. The downside of filters is that it's the whole water. You can't say it's ma'at. It's not the ma'at that is the entire. Anyone see a filter system of the mikvah? You go to the mikvah of Rosh Hashanah, right? Guys, you see that? Who remembers? When you stand in that changing room, so you hear all that noise, right? You see the water going in and coming back out again. That's the filter. If you go into a mikvah in the middle of the daytime, so you see that the water is coming, flooding back into the mikvah. It's coming out of the mikvah through one hole, and it's coming back through the borzeria. Whatever goes through the filter goes back through the borzeria and back into the mikvah. That's the whole mikvah is on the move. So can it really be makshir such a mikvah with a filter on based on this Ramah, this Rivash?
So Ramosha raises this possibility in the Tshuva. Ramosha is not convinced that we have a right to be makvah. So he leaves it a little bit hanging, and it's normally assumed halacha that we have no right to be makvah. That's it. We don't have any precedent to be makvah when the entire mikvah is moving. You can't, Ramah's diuk may be working against us. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, nobody that I know is going to be makshir and mikvah when the filter is actually on. At least not a women's mikvah. Let's say a person wants to be tovel in the swimming pool, it happens to be a filter on, so for men's mikvahs, even though zochon is a problem, maybe you have a right to be mikvah. There's no way halach anyway, so it's not the end of the world, but not for now. So getting back to the women's mikvahs, the real mikvahs, so we're going to turn the filter off. There's no question about it. We'll have a filter on during the day, that's great, you can clean out the water during the day, that's fine, but we're not going to have it on b'shas ma'aseh. So of course, what's going to be the problem? So as we mentioned last week, human error, that if you have the filter going on during the day and it's the mikvah lady's responsibility to turn it off at night, so sometimes people forget to do that. Sometimes, let's say on a marshal, even if you would have, sometimes you can put the filter on a Shabbos clock or something, so the filter goes off itself by 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it goes back on again at 12 o'clock at night. So 12 o'clock at night, usually no women are being toivel. And what about the woman whose plane got stuck? She's flying JetBlue and she was sitting on the runway for 10 hours, and now, not anymore, but in theory, and now she comes in 2 o'clock in the morning, she calls the mikveh and says, I'm supposed to go to the mikveh tonight, please can I go? So the mikveh lady's woken up from her sleep, and she says, okay, listen, I can't do it for you, but here's the combination, go bring your husband to watch you, go bring a friend to watch you or something, just be toivel in the mikveh and shut. So this lady comes to the mikveh 3 o'clock in the morning, and the filter is zooming away and flown away, and this woman doesn't exactly know that much about the mikvahs, so she tovel in the mikvah with the filter on. So that's a disaster case. According to some poskim, that tefillah was posel midaraisa because that was considered to be zochlin. Unless you're willing to say that Ramah was making that also, that's a very, very bad situation. So how do we make sure those kinds of things don't happen? So all mikvahs will be built in with certain safeguards to them, that these are not halakha safeguards, these are just metziah safeguards. These are metziah safeguards to alert the customer, alert the consumer, that don't use the mikvah when the filter is on. So one would think that all you need is a big bold letter sign that says, don't use the mikvah when the filter is on, assuming that the person understands what the word filter means, assuming that they understand when they come in, and anyone see when the filter is on, it sounds like a river, which is a lot of water, it's making a lot of noise. So, but people don't realize that that's a filter. They learn the other pshat in the Ramah. They don't realize that it's a problem. So how do you alert people to this dilemma? So different mikvahs have different kinds of systems. So some mikvahs have a red light. There's a big red traffic light that's hooked up to the system. That as soon as the filter goes on, there's a big red light that says that's flashing that says don't toivel. Okay, that's assumed. Those are the people who follow red lights. Those people who go through red lights, so they go through this red light also. So other mikvahs other mikvahs, the woman thinks, oh wow, it was so nice about her putting an extra light so I could see, I shouldn't trip in the middle of the night. So other mikvahs have other systems. They put in these big, like emergency lights, like ambulance lights, like ram with sirens and everything. So those people pull over to the side for the ambulances. So there you go. Those people who drive in the heights of an ambulance, good, that's an example, that's an opportunity to go through a red light. So again, you have people out there who are just not going to get the hint. So each mikvah should try their best to try to figure out a way to make it that such that you don't have these horror stories. But every mikvah has one of these horror stories that somebody actually did go to the mikvah with the red lights, with the sirens, with the flashing, with everything. So you have to be careful.
Does Rebbe know this water purification system? I think from Curious at all that can be on while...
Oh, very good. Okay, good. So to solve all of these problems, so some came up with an Eitza that what if you they have a point to build the filter mamish into the mikvah itself. That's what you're referring to. Now, to tell you the truth, that when we built the mikvah in Paramus, so I know they were poopling about getting one of these. I don't know, in the end of the day, I left before the filter was installed. So I told you, I filled it up there to make a shaman, and then I left them. So I haven't been there since. I don't know which filter in the end they did get. So there was a whole system, so they get the old style filter with all the system, all the safety systems, but you get this new revamped filter, which apparently can be on at the time, because the point is that the water doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go outside. Apparently it does the filtering while the water still inside. How or is that? I don't know what the...
It's attached, like a device that attaches the side of the wall.
Right, something like that. Yeah, that's all part of the same system.
No, you don't have to dig.
Right, something like that. Yeah, something like that. I didn't actually see it. Mm-hmm. Has anyone seen one of them?
Yeah.
You saw it? Which mikvah was it?
It was in Bethel, Pennsylvania.
In where?
In Salem, Pennsylvania.
and they have a satmar
curious yo. The whole thing, and there was
these
bubbles coming out of it.
Right. So again, it was just made. We finished the. I left for Amos already. It's almost 3 years already, and we are just about finishing the mikvah. It just about come out, right? It was a fairly new product for the market then. I don't know. Okay. There is another hole that we're talking a little bit about the cleaning mikvahs. There's another modern day innovation that could be helpful in terms of cleaning mikvahs, and that's the issue of chlorine. So can you put chlorine into the mikvah and thereby solving at least some of your sanitary problems? So the only possible issue that's involved in adding chlorine to the mikvah is an issue perhaps of shini mare. There's a halacha that mikvah water has to have the resemblance of water. Those who remember the sugya in the beginning, it says matas, nav gimel, dalet, about if you have, let's say, have a kosher mikvah and you put a little bit of wine into the mikvah, now the whole mikvah looks red, so that passes the mikvah. So it's called shini mare. So there was a potential shaya that was raised. If you put chlorine into the mikvah, so it gives the mikvah a little bit of that bluish, greenish, swimming pool look. So maybe that should be a problem of shini mara. So what's usually done today is as follows: that the only majority of the post-team assume that based on the sugyas in the second mikvahs, that shini mara is only a problem if you put a liquid into the mikvah that changes the color. If you put a solid into the mikvah that caused the change of color, that was never included. Shini mara was only gzeir midirabanan for technical reason. It was only said if you eat a mashke, if you eat a solid, that's not a problem. So usually what many of the mikvahs do today is they use chlorine, they use solid pellets of chlorine. They throw in some chlorine into the mikvah, and even if it does, usually it's not that much, it doesn't really change the color. Even if it does change the color, since it was a solid anyway, so according to Overwhelming Majority of the Post, it's not a problem. The whole chumr of Shirin Mara is only a chumr of but anyway, so the Maisi Yesh Lahakal on those solid pellets of chlorine. Good. So now we get back to one last akuda in terms of Zochalin. And this is something that is not a shaila in terms of constructing a mikvah per se, but it's very, very much related to Hilchos Mikvah. It's a shaila that inevitably every Rav is going to get at some point in his career, and that's the shaila of using other bodies of water for tevila. Very often you have a situation where it's not accessible. The couple's on vacation in the middle of Hawaii, the couple's in the middle of the Grand Canyon, wherever it is, and in the Maisa, there's no standard normal mikvah around. So even Chabad mikvahs could be hours away. So what do you do? So it's clear in the halacha that there are certain bodies of water that are perfectly acceptable for tevila. Many of them are mamish lechatchilus of lechatchilus. Some may even be better than regular mikvahs. So let's say the marshal, if you have something that's a mayan, something that's halachically a mayan, so that's for sure right. If you have an underground spring, so you just happen to be traveling somewhere, there's an underground spring, so that's great. That would be fine lechatchilus of lechatchilus. My wife teaches a lot of college classes. So somebody called her yesterday. They were wondering the following shaila. Said, where did the women in the midbar go to the mikvah? That was the shaila. It wasn't a question of mine. I was just interested in the fact that where did the women go to the mikvah in the midbar? Beresh Miriam? No, I don't know. Now you honest, there were springs in the midbar. The psukim say that they went. They were tired themselves. The psukim speak about going to be tovel in the water. They kept Har Mishpacha ready the day after Matan Torah was given. So the Gemara says they went to the mikvah before Har Sinai. So there were some bodies of water that were kashiv tefila. So my guess was they were probably Mayonos. I can't imagine that maybe Kiryas Yoel guys, but they're digging, waiting, davening for the rain. I don't know. Anything's possible. So there were bodies of water. So natural bodies of water. If they meet the halachic criteria of a mayan of a spring water, so of course they're perfectly kashiv lechatchila shabachatchila. So one just has to be careful before one uses any kind of natural body of water just to ascertain a couple of things. So the best body of water to use, which is really no shilas per se in terms of the kashrus, is the ocean. The ocean. There's a mikvah of mayim, but lemais it's kosher. So you're allowed to be toiled in the ocean. There are some technical issues of being toiled in the ocean, which you have to be aware of. Anytime a woman goes to be toiled in the ocean, you have to be very, very careful in terms of sakana, and very careful in terms of tzniyos, and very careful in terms of chatzitzas, with the sand and the mud and everything. So usually we recommend women not to toiled in the ocean. In the normal circumstances, we don't advocate toiled in the ocean, not because there's anything wrong with the tefillah in the ocean per se, just because there are so many technical and/halachic problems that have to be overcome, that it's usually not such a good idea. So, but sometimes it's Shasar Chasam. There's no choice. The couples, they're on vacation in the middle of Hawaii, and there's a very, very big ocean there, but there's very, very other little mikvahs around. So that would be okay. Somebody told me once a terrible story that I was used to teach in Stern. So I was probably giving like some kind of overview about the mikvahs or something. I don't think we weren't going through every single ramah, but a little bit of an overview. I mentioned about Zochle, about different bodies of water, etc. So a girl raised her hand, and she said that she has a friend of hers who lives in Hawaii. Her and her husband live in Hawaii, and there's no real from community there. And she has like a waterfall in her backyard or something. If you live in Hawaii, you get a waterfall in your backyard. And that's where she goes to the mikvah. She goes in the tovel in the waterfall or something every month. So I said, I think maybe you should just double check that you got the story right. Sounds a little bit strange. I said, you should probably ask somebody whether that's acceptable. Anyway, this Galgula Devarim, that's what the woman was doing. She was toveling in this moving body of water, which was possible with their ice. It was Mamish Zochlin. It wasn't the ocean. It was Mamish water. It was rainwater that was going over the side of a cliff. So Baruch Hashem, from that one class that I taught in Stern, saved this girl from is a karius for the rest of her life. Either that until she moves to a civilization. So you never know. You have to be, you never know where the Yeshua is going to come from. Anyway, so then they invited us to come out to Hawaii to check out, and I didn't take them over. You never know where, it's mamish amazing in today's world, like where a person says something, and where, I got a call yesterday from the Rav of, he may be listening right now, from the Rav of Halifax, Nova Scotia. So anyone know who he is? Who? Oh, yeah, that's right. He's from here. He's what? Oh, he works for the OU?
No, he's here on the OU website.
Oh, yeah? He played? He learned English. Ah, okay, good. Oh, so he called me yesterday. And he said he was listening to a shiur that I said, and he wanted a man mokum and a Rebbe Chana and a Rebbe Chaim. His mom said, like, mind boggled that way. Mom should, you know, you say a shiur here in room 314, whatever room we're in, and the guy's sitting in Nova Scotia listening to the Rebbe Chaim. You have to be so careful what you say. So it's over here. I said a shiur in 34th Street, and there's a woman sitting in Hawaii who it's Mashbion. So that works, Bela Tobe and Lara. That means you could say something bad here and here in the other end of the world also, so you have to be careful in today's world. Anyway, so getting back to this story. So, to be terrible of the ocean, in terms of Ochas Mikvos, is not a problem. In terms of here for those and other things, may be a cause for concern. But what if it's not an ocean? What if it's something, let's say, like a marsh or a river? Can you be terrible in a river? The East River, right down the block. You want to be terrible in the East River. What's that locha? So this was a major, major machla. I guess this goes back to the sugyas and Maseches Nedarim. Anyone remember those sugyas and Afnam? There's a long ran in Maseches Nedarim, all about Tefillah ben Aharos. Basically, it's a machlekes and the Gemara, machlekes and Rishon. What's the shayla? It's basically, it boils down to the Tzia shayla. What is the source of the river water? Is the river water rainwater? Is the river water spring water? If it's mostly spring water, then it's a mayan. If it's mostly spring water, then it's okay, because it's mayan that zochon is fine. If it's mostly rainwater, then it's dino like a mikvah, and a mikvah that's moving. A river moves, the car, the river, it's moving going downstream. So therefore, it would be possible. So the Gemara says that there was different opinions in the Tanoim and Amoraim exactly what the source of the water is. Then the Gemara even quotes an opinion that says that it depends on the time of the year. Sometimes of the year, right after the rainy season, there's more rainwater. After the melted snow, there's more rain. Other times of the year, there's less rain. So it could be that it may change according to the different seasons. Maybe different for different rivers. Remember a couple of years ago when America invaded Iraq. So it was right. When was it? What was the right now, right between Purim and Pesach. So there was one of the newscasters giving a whole shtickle Torah about how the invasion had to be timed at this time, because the Euphrates is overflowing from the melted snow, from the rain, after the rainy season. So the guy's giving it with maps and charts and a whole discussion of the overflowing of the Euphrates. So I was sitting and laughing. I said, anyone who would have opened up a Gemara in the Darm Daf Mem would have read that the Gemara says Beferish, that in Yemei Nisan, which was exactly what was going, that's when Euphrates overflows, because you don't need a PhD in meteorology to figure out that it snows on Turkey and it comes down and it overflows. And I said, a lot of things have changed in the last 2,500 years, but the Euphrates hasn't changed all that much. So it's the same Nahar Pras, same story we're doing now. We'll still be doing another 2,000 years from now. So rivers depend time and place. How do we pass in Lamais and Lamais and rivers? So it's Machlokes every Shadr, Ben Itam, and basically everybody else. But Ben Itam held that you're allowed to toil on rivers. Ben Itam Paskin, that rivers are always Rove Mimayan Apidin, and for whatever other technical reasons, Kama Kama Bottom, Ben Itam, and a few different sheet is put together. Rabbi Natan Paskin Lamaisa, you're allowed to toivel in rivers. And there were many Jews, very religious women in Europe, who used to toivel in rivers. And in the Middle Ages, because there were no mikvahs, then sometimes if you had a small community, it was too hard to build a mikvah. All the Jewish communities were always on the edge of the rivers. That's where all the commerce was, all the money was. So the Jews inevitably were living in that area. So they used to toivel in the rivers, even though many of the Rishonim held it was not acceptable. Rabbi Natan Paskin that it was all right. But most of the Rishonim didn't accept this, and therefore the Ramah quotes in the Tumah Sedition that one should only rely on Rabbeinu Tam b'shas adchak gol. It means there's mamish no mikvah around, then yesh lohokol b'shas adchak to toil in the river, but under normal circumstances, one should not toil in the river. I don't think anyone's been toiling in the river in the last 800 years. I don't think anybody follows this anymore. No, under no circumstances should one be toiling in rivers. One should not be doing tefillas kelim in rivers. Rivers, we assume, are a serious chashash of zeichlet. Just to give you a little indication as to what a seriously... emotionally charged topic this was, Tefillah b'Naharos, and 800 years ago, there's a Mordechai in Hilchos Mikvos that quotes from the Maharam in Rutenberg that has the following story, that apparently you think that the Shidduchim crisis only started in America in the last 20 years. There was a Shidduchim problem in the 1100s also. So people would ask a lot of funny questions before they would want to make a Shidduch with somebody. So one of the questions they would ask was, they wouldn't ask, was the mother keep Taras HaMishpacha? What Jewish woman in those days didn't keep Taras HaMishpacha? In the olden days, you were either from or you were a Mishumah. There was nothing in between. So, of course, everybody kept it. Well, it was part of the Jewish community. Of course, went to the mikvah. The shayla they would ask was, did the mother toivel in the river? Or did the mother make the extra trip to go toivel in the mikvah? I mean, did she rely on Rabbeinu Tam? I kid you not. That's what Maram Rutenberg asked, that people would disqualify Shidduchim if the mother of the girl, the mother of the boy, would have was toivel in the river following Rabbeinu Tam's psak. So the Mordechai says, the quotes from the Maharam, he thinks that's not a good question to ask. He says, because even according to the Chokon Rabbeinu Tam, it's only the Rabbanon, and it doesn't matter anyway. Even if the woman didn't go to the mikvah b'chlal, it doesn't affect the status of the child at all, halacha. There's no halachic problem of a child who was born from a nida. So the whole thing, the Mordechai says, is ridiculous. People should stop asking that question. They should leave those women who are longer Rabbeinu Tam, or longer Rabbeinu Tam. Those who don't rely on Rabbeinu Tam, don't rely on Rabbeinu Tam. But they shouldn't be one of the questions that the Soyuitzana or something. So you should cut that out of the question of Shidduchim. That's what the Mordechai quotes in Masechah Shavuos. Anyway, interesting. So Lamai, so we're not toiling rivers anymore. What about other kinds of bodies of water, other natural bodies of water? So it depends on the type of water. It basically depends on some of the things that we spoke about before. Is it a is it meimayon? Is it underground spring water, or is it rainwater? That's ultimately what it's going to depend on. So you have shadows about lakes. So you come to a lake, you want to know, is the lake good or is the lake no good? So you have two questions that you have to ask. First of all, is the lake moving altogether? Maybe the lake is stationary. If it's totally stationary, then even if it is rainwater, it's okay. But if the lake is moving, if the area of the lake, sometimes the lakes are leading out to other bodies of water, so if the water is not all staying in the lake, there is some outlet somewhere, so then you have to ascertain, where does the water come from? Is it underground springs mostly, or is it mostly rainwater? So if the answer to that question is that it's rainwater, and the answer to the question is that it's taka moving, the taka there is water that's being nizchal out, then you have a problem with that lake.
Can you assume that if you can't see any water moving, that there's cracks on the sides of it?
Yeah, but you have to really go around the entire lake and see. Okay, no, I mean, that's like the Rashba, it's like water, you know, but you have to walk around the whole lake and see, is there any place where the water is, so if you have big lakes, I mean, you have a very big lake, you have to walk all around the lake and see, is there any outlet for the water?
So, if I was on the Hudson River right now, I'm assuming it's Megashama, for and I just take a bunch of big walls, like big wood
right.
boards,
right, and
you
call right, right. So that's now what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you could do that, right. We mostly show them read the Gemara. Bansi, the Red Rabbi,
the Vodashim. I'm like putting a wall there to stop the flow.
Right. As long as what you're using to close off the flow is not Makabal Tuma. If what you're using is Makabal Tuma, then it's a steamer. But the Makabal Tuma is a Shaila Machlik, the Rash and the Rush. And so. It's a whole discussion about that. Anyway, so again, getting back to the story. So anytime you want to be toiling in a given body of water, so it's not so poshut, you have to ask yourself those couple of questions. And not so easy to always to get the answers to those questions. So, you know, some lakes, you know, in Marasha, so they use Lake Marasha as a mikvah. So for two reasons. First of all, they actually did go around, and they found this one area where it's closed, where there was an exit of the water, but it was dammed up. So whenever you have a dam, that's also a potential problem, because if the dam was made by people, it's a couple two of that, so it would have to be a beaver dam. So that's what the experts told us. I don't know, wouldn't be able to tell a beaver dam from a regular dam, but that's what they said. The one place where the water used to be leaving is now dammed up, so it's assuming not considered to be zochlet. And number two is that apparently, according to the mumchim, and here are those who know the Marsha area, the mumchim ahu, some people know anything about these things? Huh? Yeah, Jim Barton. So he was mayor in Basin, that he was of the opinion, and him and some of the other mumchim around there, that the water is really mostly underground springs, and he tried to bring riots. I don't understand what the riots were exactly, but Lemaisa, they say that it's so assuming that one of those two things are true, they don't both have to be true. If one of them is true, then the mikvah's kosher. Snakes make it kosher. So maybe it's rainwater, maybe it's spring water, and even if it's rainwater, maybe it's stationary. So we assume that it's okay. We assume that both of those things are true, that it's spring water and it's also stationary, so therefore it's perfectly okay. So what would man-made lake mean? Man-made lake that they actually brought the water in, or man-made lake they just dug a hole? Because they dug a hole and it rained into the hole, so that would be okay. But if they dug a hole and they brought the water in, that would be wouldn't be so good.
How does a mine from a mine?
From the water that when it's bubbling from under the ground. Anything that's coming, once it's coming out from under the ground, that's called a mine.
You have to be going before the rain cycle. So
yeah, well, all water is up and down, but last it came from. That's some Rishonim say. That's what Amshacha does. Some Rishonim say Amshacha makes it like even it's like a shtickle mayim. It makes it like part of the karka. That's what some Rishonim say. That's the Mordechai. That's the source where the Mordechai says you need karka real lvloa, because it has to become like bubble to the karka a little bit. So you can't just stop to jump into a lake. You have to. That's a good line. But you can't just throw the tug on a lake. You have to figure out whether the lake is zochlin or not zochlin. Ashvorin is the official term. That's the opposite of zochlin. And whether it's rainwater or whether it's spring water. And different lakes are going to be different. And maybe different seasons are going to be different. So again, this comes a little bit. It becomes important before you have to mivare much of the mitzias. Remember, several years ago, I got a call from a group of people who were going to Yosemite, and they wanted to know about a certain one of the lakes in Yosemite, whether it was kosher for a tefillah or not. So I told them, you have to get me some information. Tell me, is there a dam? There's not a dam there. Is it closed off? Not closed off. Where's the rainwater? So they got one of the forest rangers stations on the phone. So we were talking to the forest rangers, and I was asking them a whole bunch of questions about the dams and everything. And it was after September 11th, so they got very nervous. They wanted to know, why do I want to know so much about the dams in Yosemite? What am I planning on blowing up? So they said, no, I'm not a terrorist. I'm just an Orthodox rabbi from New York who wants to know about whether the water is acceptable for ritual purity or not. So he said, oh, why didn't you tell me? It's a Rav Moss. It's a Rav Yosef. So anyway, in the end, I couldn't get any answers from anybody. So I told him I can't use it until you mivare the mitzvahs. So you can't just stop jump into a natural body of water. You have to make sure that it's either a mikvah or a mayan meeting the halachic criteria. Yes, that's the question. Where do you draw the line? Why is Lake Kinneret a lake? Or where's what's a lake and what's a yam in halacha? Yeah, that's also not so poshut. That's a good question. Why is the Kinneret kosher and the yam is poshut? That's a good question. No, it's the same thing, right? The same water. Yeah, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. That's what some Rishonim talk about the rivers. They say all the rivers have a shaka to the ocean. What does it say? Kol nachalim halchim al hayam. The pasuk in Kehelas. So everything should be kosher based on a shaka. Question is, does a shaka work for zochlin? Another story. Not for now. There's Rumus Hadeshin about a shaka for zochlin. Yeah, so it depends. So there's a mishnah that says that you can't toivel if it's what. Yeah, gal shemitlosh. If you have a wave that's mamish like detached already, like, I'm going to date myself. You guys probably wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. Remember Hawaii 5-0? No. So the theme, right, where the guy was on the wave. So that was my image was of gal shemitlosh. So the wave is taka not really part of the ocean anymore. So that would taka be a problem. But if it's just up and down, but it's basically the same water. I mean, it's always the same water, but it's nearer the iron that it's just the same, just moving up and down a little bit. That would be okay. No, it doesn't pass through the entire ocean. If a galsh nitlash in China, it doesn't disqualify it in California. It just means that you can't be toivel in that because ain't toivel in the avir. You can't be toivel. That's called air. That's not called part of the yam anymore. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Sai, as you can tell, Hilchos Mikvaos has a lot of exciting things to it. So I don't think anyone's necessarily going to go out and start building Mikvaos based on what we spoke about, but at least should be aware of some of the issues. So Mitzvah Hashem, you'll be in Rabbanim in communities, so you may actually be asked to build a mikvah, or even if the mikvah exists already, you may be asked to supervise the mikvah to make sure what's going on. So you have to know some of the basic things to be aware of when construction and upkeep of a mikvah. I was going to change the topic to construction and upkeep of a mikvah. So that would be maybe for next time. We'll
Gimel Lugin, where did that factor in?
Gimel Lugin, my shoe in a positive one.
Meaning, I have my 40 saw.
No, once you have 40 saw, then it doesn't matter.
For the 40 saw.